Now, welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, but I'm searching furiously for Trevor Lawrence news. Anything? Have I missed something?
Sprained ankle, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's good. I feel better because we're on pace to get to the playoffs with like three remaining quarterbacks in the NFL. Boy, that looked awful.
Looked bad, but apparently a sprained ankle. So I guess dodging a bullet of sorts for the Jacksonville Jaguars last night in their loss to Jake Browning and company.
Well, let me tell you something. Jake Browning's good.
He looked good.
I mean, Jake Browning is freaking good. I mean, seriously. Like, there's more people who can play quarterback than I realize in the world.
Tyler Boyd, not one of them. Whatever they tried to do last night with that pass, let's not let Tyler Boyd try to throw the football again. That was something.
Well, how many times in one game does Zach Taylor want to try a play like that, too? Like, dude, stop. Do you want to, on that same field, we saw an amazing Treylon Burks throw across the field.
You get down there, Duval, that pool starts flowing the way it is, that crowd's in there, and coaches just have to try to do crazy stuff to overcome it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, I had a whole lot of work down there.
That's a good point. The milky pool can really mess with your brain.
It can.
You know? Make sure you put your floaties on just so you don't drown.
Exactly. It's rough down there with Duval. But what a win for Cincinnati to, number one, keep themselves alive in the race. And number two, no look now, Joe, but the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts are one game back in Jacksonville. They're both at 7-5, Jacksonville now at 8-4. And Trevor Lawrence has ankle problems.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and that's the thing. I mean, he's got to miss a game or two, right? I would think. With that, so the AFC South three-team race here in early December, and if you told me that in August and then said the Titans are the one who is out, I would have laughed at you.
Yep, I would have too.
But so wrong about so many things.
That's where we find ourselves. Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's good.
Cannot complain. Glad to be here. Foggy morning.
It was very foggy on the way in. No question. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Caroline Fenton will join us at 7 o'clock. We'll get her thoughts on the college football playoff and the way that that sorted out. Reaction continuing to pour in on Alabama making the college football playoff and Florida State being left out. We'll get into that with Caroline at 7 o'clock. Scott Ramsey from the Music City Bowl and Trenton National Sports Council will join us at 7:30. We'll look ahead to the Auburn and Maryland Music City Bowl matchup with him and get his thoughts on the new Titan Stadium coming in and what that can mean for the future of the bowl game, future of college football games here in Nashville. So looking forward to that coming up at 7:30. And we begin on the news of the day yesterday, Joe. The Titans fire Craig Aukerman. Mike Vrabel announces at his press conference yesterday that the Titans are moving on from Craig Aukerman as special teams coach after the debacle on Sunday against Indianapolis that we discussed all day long on the show yesterday. And, Joe, we threw the question out there. Was there a chance that Craig Aukerman may not make it through the day with his job? It is one of those days on Sunday, and it was so bad special teams-wise that it starts to kind of bring that question up as to whether or not somebody's going to make it through the day. And he did not. Titans have moved on from Craig Aukerman. What was your reaction when Mike Vrabel announced the news yesterday at his press conference?
Well, I was surprised. Obviously, he comes right out and mentions Craig Aukerman, and then you're like, oh, my goodness, he did it, or they did it, you know, and that's the thing. He did it, they did it. I'm going to stick with what I always say, which is I don't see the huge benefit to a team in getting rid of someone who presumably does a lot of work in the middle of a season. But I think that matters less now, you know. I mean, I think that latter matters less now that they're 4-8. Although, you know, I will say for Vrabel's sake, you don't want too many more games like that. you know, when your kicking game just completely falls apart and loses you the game. I stick with on Aukerman. It's funny because there's, you know, there's special teams, advanced stats that actually put the Titans, you know, very high in the NFL overall. Now, I think that also has a lot to do with two fantastic specialists, right? Yep. Which I don't credit Aukerman for. I don't blame him when the specialists, you know, are struggling. But I don't think he was some disastrous special teams coach. I don't think this was like some years long huge issue. It was, I mean, as far as I know, I guess 1.5 people made it an issue. I'll give Kaharski a half. You know, there were some mistakes at times here and there, you know. But I mean, this year you got two games that are just like the Baltimore thing and then Sunday are just like is that fireable on its own? I mean, some people would say possibly yes. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, but I think it's been okay, not great. And then you have that stuff. And so I get it. Now, you know, I still have my questions about, you know, who started the ball rolling on this.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when this was announced yesterday, my first thought was this a Mike Vrabel decision that he came to purely on his own, or was this maybe encouraged by Amy Adams Strunk and Titans ownership? And I don't know what the answer is. You know, Vrabel got out there and talked about how, you know, they felt like this is in the best interest of the football team now, and they're moving on from Craig Aukerman, all those things. But that was my first thought was, is this a purely Vrabel decision, or was this encouraged maybe by ownership or other parties outside of Vrabel? And I don't know what the answer is, but we talked about that yesterday. Like, Vrabel has not been an in-season coach firing guy. Like, this is the first time he's ever done it here with the Titans. So, doesn't mean – just because he hasn't done it before doesn't mean that he would never do it and that, you know, there's not a circumstance that would arise where Vrabel wouldn't fire somebody in the middle of the season. But it does bring up that question to me, Joe, of was this a Vrabel decision or did this maybe come from up top?
Yeah, and I mean, I think enough. I'm trying to think what year the marketing was 16, so he had the year, and then they went to the next year. So it wasn't like that was like that really got him out. You know, that was a different thing for him later when he got out after he fired Bobby April in 2016. But like, if you're Mike Vrabel, I think enough. I guess meddling would be the word. You know, would make me less enthused about my job. You know, if I was a coach in this league now, a lot of people coaching this league will tell you, yeah, well, you'd be surprised. You know, people, the very, very rich people who own these teams, you know, they have thoughts sometimes,
yep.
You know, and you know, some make it more obvious than others. Like, we know that like Jim Irsay is telling Shane Steichen, like, which, you know, zip up he should wear on the sidelines, you know, an hour before the game, you know. And obviously Jerry Jones is just, you know, just completely insufferable. But it's a good question, and I don't know the answer. But I also think that it's feasible to think that Vrabel looked at this situation, looked at the record, you know, where things have gone, how bad that was, the fact that Stonehouse got hurt, and independently thought, you know, there's some accountability that probably needs to happen here.
Yeah, and you know, now you've put yourself in a situation where you're 4-8. I mean, the season for all intents and purposes is over at this point. You're playing out the string here, seeing if you can get your quarterback to a spot where, you know, there's positive development there. You know, the special teams part of this, and now I guess when the offseason gets here, you're looking to fill the role that way. I'm interested to see what they do there on that front. But now you're without your punter, which, you know, we'll get into some more injuries for the Titans here in just a few minutes. But punter going to be out the rest of the year. And it just felt like, given how bad it was on Sunday, I'm not really surprised that this happened. Even though that, you know, Vrabel has never done this before, and he's never made an in-season firing. That's how bad it was Sunday. And that's why I brought the question up yesterday of that it was so bad out there Sunday that those are the type of games that get people in this league fired. And, you know, I was actually, Joe, kind of proud of Jared yesterday. He did not spend 4 hours taking a victory lap like I thought he would. There were certain references to it. But basically, Jared's point was it's too little too late. They should have done this last offseason, was his point yesterday.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, first of all, yeah, good for him for not, you know, dancing and cheering and talking about people rejoicing when someone gets fired. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. And, yeah, look, the thing is, like, with anything with Vrabel, it's like this has never happened before. Well, I mean, his first year as head coach in the NFL is 2018. Right. So give him 10 years, and then you'll probably see just about everything. I mean, I don't think there's really been a situation – well, there hasn't been. There hasn't been, unless I guess you want to talk about Downing after Green Bay, right? Yep. I mean, I suppose that could be the situation, you know, getting pulled over, you know, for DUI after that game. But, yeah, there hasn't been an in-game, like, performance so bad you're like, oh, my gosh, is this guy going to get fired? There have been questions because, like, Downing was – the offense was so bad all through last year. But, yeah, I mean, it's – I am surprised because, like, the first time something happens is still – that's still the first time. But, yeah, look, I can't disagree with you. And again, this is where it gets into, you know, I mean, if you add up all of the really bad things under Craig Aukerman on special teams, and I'm not saying I remember every single game. They've had some returns. They've given up some returns. They've had some fake punts, given up some fake punts. They had fake punts that got blown up.
Yep.
But, you know, whatever. I mean, add it all up. I don't think any of it is really is fireable at all. But yeah, but Sunday, yeah. I mean, that's a different deal.
Yeah, no question about it. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to the Titans firing Craig Aukerman yesterday. We'll get into some injury news for the Titans as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Let me just first start off by saying had a conversation with Craig Aukerman. I'm going to move on and make a change there in our leadership on a special teams unit. I'm excited about, you know, the possibility of Tom Quinn leading that group. Tom's going to take over those duties. Brings a lot of experience and knowledge. He's a great teacher. And so hopefully, you know, we'll be able to you know, continue the stuff that we've done well, which there has been some, you know, plenty of things in there that we've done well, and hopefully, you know, eliminate those mistakes that cost you. So I want to thank Craig for what he's done for us, certainly in the time that I've been here, but felt like this was the best thing for the team and for, you know, the players moving forward, most importantly, the players. So, with that, take some questions on the game and upcoming game here with the Dolphins.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at the press conference announcing that the Titans are moving on from Craig Aukerman. Tom Quinn taking over as a special teams coach for the Tennessee Titans in the meantime. Joe, I did love the little ending of that by Vrabel there of, I will take questions on the game and the game coming up against the Dolphins. Good try by him.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, and then there were 8 Aukerman questions that followed immediately. But also, by the way, you know, Monday is not supposed to be looking toward the next game, and certainly not when the next game is a Monday night game.
Correct.
Monday is looking back day, Vrabel. Someone should have pointed that out to him right after he said that.
That's right.
But it worked out all right because I don't think anybody asked about the Dolphins. No.
No, we got plenty
no one
of time
asked about the Dolphins.
Eventually get to that one. That'll be fun.
Get excited about that one, yes.
Yep, no question about it. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Cam. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Yeah, I was kind of I was completely shocked that Jared went the route that he went because – I understand the losing of the job and, you know, misplacing families and all that, you know, but he still had a right to rub Vrabel's nose in it after Vrabel made it a point to belittle him and try to embarrass him in that press conference when he asked about Aukerman. And I just, you know, wanted your thoughts on it. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Cam. Cam or Joe, do you think Jared missed an opportunity to take a victory lap on Mike Vrabel yesterday?
Well, look, I'm not going to lie and say I listened to a lot of his show. But if he didn't at all, good for him. I mean, it's not, you know, it's someone getting fired. Now, I'm trying to think back because I've definitely heard Jared. I mean, I was there when this interaction happened. And I've heard Jared play it, and I've heard Jared be like, you know. But was he trying to belittle Jared? Maybe we should play that, or maybe we can just you just tell me because so let me see if I remember.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that.
Like basically, it was like
he did go on this nice diatribe about third and net punting. That was good. I enjoyed that.
Right. Well, like Jared asked about Aukerman, and I rolled my eyes. And so I was probably belittling Jared more than Vrabel was. But and then he went back and forth a little bit. And then I think the laughter wasn't like when Vrabel said, "Rand, get us some more returners," something like that, right? So I was that belittling Jared?
No, but
I mean, everybody laughed. So I guess, you know. But we weren't laughing at you, Jared. We were laughing with you.
Yeah, as we always are. We don't ever laugh at Jared, do we?
I mean, the thing is, you know, as I recall, like he did, Vrabel just said, okay, so what are you talking about that, like, what needs to be? And I don't even actually remember, like, what was the answer at that time? Like, what was the fireable thing about Aukerman at that time, right? Like they were third net punting, whatever that means. That's just because Stonehouse is really good.
Yeah.
I don't give Aukerman credit for that. But what was the punt returning, I guess,
early in the year?
Yeah, Kyle Phillips muffed the punt, right? I mean, see, all these things, this is why I would scream at Jared about Aukerman. It's like, dude, you're seriously like trying to say because they've had all these kicker issues and John Robinson, all this stuff, that's Aukerman? That's Vrabel and Robinson, man. Like when you switch, you talk about people getting fired immediately. How about the Titans and kickers? Cairo Santos missed a couple. Yep, you say bye. Okay, yeah. You're out of here. Like that's not Aukerman. He tried to like put all that stuff on him, which to me is stupid. Stuff like Sunday, yes, that is on your special teams coach. I say that's totally what you do. And even like Tannehill not working enough so that he's ready as a backup holder, yes, that's on the guy running the whole thing. Operational stuff, schematic stuff, that is on the special teams coach. Specialists doing well or not doing well, or which specialists you have, that's your GM and your head coach. And that's kind of always been my issue with this. You know, but again, I got nothing. I have no beef with this. It's just like that's just a disastrous day. As we just said yesterday, I can't recall a day like this for a special teams unit in the NFL. I'm sure there are some doozies in the history of the league, but I just can't think of them off the top of my head. This is one that people are going to remember.
Well, it's the difference in the game, right? I mean,
right.
And I know. In some ways, this is a ridiculous conversation, but I'm gonna have it anyway. Think about what we'd be talking about today if they had won that game. So that would mean Indy would be 7-6, Houston would be 7-5, the Jags would be 8-4, but Trevor Lawrence just sprained his ankle, and we'd be talking about Titans 5-7. They got two games with the Texans coming up, another one with the Jags. Could you find a way to get yourself back in it? Again, right. It's ridiculous to even think about that at 4-8, but I'm just saying, like, special teams 100% cost them that game on Sunday, and it was the difference in the game.
Yeah, and I don't know that I'd go as far as to say it cost them the Baltimore game because, you know, I mean, they made a little run, but they were kind of getting their butts kicked in that game.
It did not help.
But still, yeah, that's still another one of those, like, okay, that is you have to be able to count on your special teams coach to look at the situation and say, yeah, don't touch that ball. You don't even go back there, right? Vrabel too, but that's why you pay a special teams coordinator.
Exactly.
So to me, what the move yesterday is cumulative from those two things. Anything before that, in my opinion, you tell me, am I forgetting something egregious? I mean, I know Jared has like gone on and on about this stuff, but I can't remember anything egregious.
Nothing egregious. It would be nice for the Titans to at some point like have a nice return, like a nice punt return or a nice
block a punt. Or yeah, sure.
Do all those things. Now, how much of that
you can get better.
Yeah, like how much of that has been personnel related? How much of that is coaching related? I couldn't tell you. I mean, I have no idea. But I mean, no. To answer your question, I don't. There's nothing to me that's been just outrageously egregious, other than the Kyle Phillips thing earlier this year, which was ridiculous, and then the game on Sunday, which is just it can't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's just a different situation, which is why we are where we are. Skyler says, Vrabel told Jared to think like a man, LMAO, told Jared he wasn't a man. Well, that was a different press.
That's,
that was
that's not
the
same thing.
Think like a dude. Yeah, but we're talking about the Aukerman presser, you know, from last year, which I just, I don't know. I mean, Vrabel made a funny. Can't we all just embrace Vrabel making a joke at a press conference?
It happens very frequently. He's like a comedian up there at the press conference.
Shecky Green over there. Rand, get us some returns. So,
which,
yeah,
he did not really do. I mean, I guess Eric Gehr's been okay.
Well, I mean, actually, Spears is a pretty good returner, but you just barely ever see it on kickoffs.
Right.
So, not really. I mean, look, Kyle Phillips could be good, but I don't think you can ever do it again, right?
No. I mean, at some point, you got to – I mean, after about the third drop ball, it's time to stop sending him back out there, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know if he's going to get on the field to play wide receiver right now, much less at special teams. So, I mean, it's – that part of it's interesting, too. Like, I mean, Vrabel was asked again about the Phillips part of this yesterday, and he's like, you know, Colton Dowell has played well on special teams. He's been noticeable, I believe was the term that he used on special teams. And with NWI and Chris Moore and Traylon Burks getting back in there the fold, I mean, Kyle Phillips was just the decision they made. So I found that to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like if he's not a returner, I still thought he could help the offense. But I think in that game, you know, the physicality of those guys was a difference. We'll see if, you know, does that mean he's just going to be sort of on the shelf the rest of the way, or are there different matchups and game plans that, you know, that would make him more viable? Jared from Spring Hill says, bros, he had like 30 examples of Aukerman going back to 2018. Yeah, but
right,
tell
but
me
some
one.
Of his examples are stupid.
They're
some
atrocious.
Of them are not, but some of them are stupid.
Yeah, like some of them are like, okay, this team, they had a good punt returner. Okay, I mean.
It happens every now and then.
Yeah. But, like, so many of the examples are, again, it's like field goal kicker stuff that you can't put on him. This stuff, you can put on him. So we can all be in agreement now on this because we have new information.
Do you think that there's any other place in the National Football League that has spent so much time discussing a special teams coach than we have the last 2 days? Like, I understand the game Sunday was egregious, but, I mean, you're talking about guy gets fired yesterday. It's all people are talking about. We spent the first 30 minutes of the show on a special teams coach. I did think about that this morning. It's got to be a record. Talk about special teams coaches.
Yeah, like I suppose here and there there's been stuff, games like this, right, where and then someone got fired. But yeah, can't be too much. And then between this and this, the amount of time he is at, just the amount of questions he's asked every week.
At press conference.
It is it's the most special teams coach talking city in the NFL. So, I mean, right now, I think that's the big story in the state of Tennessee, right, is the search for the next special teams coach of the Titans.
Well, and in the meantime, congratulations to Tom Quinn, who now I would presume gets to take over the press conference duties as well, talking about the special teams. Very exciting.
Yeah, his debut comes Thursday. So, everybody, I think we should definitely live, maybe even simulcast that. What do you think?
We probably should. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Some injury news that Vrabel got to in his press conference yesterday, a couple of which are pretty interesting to me. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Couple of plays that Jeff went back in. Was he just testing the injury? Was it just kind of what was the process of him?
Yeah, I think he really, you know, did everything that he could, you know, and even made a play, and it just wasn't going to be able to do anything. And if you can't protect yourself out there, nobody wants to put a player in harm's risk. And we're going to trust Jeff to say when he can go and when he can't. And but certainly don't want to put any player, you know, at risk when they can't protect themselves, especially inside playing defensive line where there's, you know, a lot of bodies that are coming after you and they, you know, are trying to get you. So never want to put a player in that position.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at the press conference discussing Jeffrey Simmons. He left the game on Sunday against the Colts. Not going to be available on Monday against the Dolphins for the Titans. Could be out a couple weeks here. as he is going through his injury. So obviously that is not very good news for the Titans. A big loss up front on the defensive line. Derrick Henry in concussion protocol, we thought, but apparently was not in concussion protocol as of yesterday. So he's pulled from the game on Sunday. The trainers do not allow him to go back in. He goes off to the locker room. You know, Schefter came out with a report yesterday morning that he was in concussion protocol. And then Vrabel at the press conference yesterday said he was not, in fact, in concussion protocol and that he was feeling great. So I guess as of right now, Joe, it looks like Derrick Henry going to be on track to play on Monday against Miami. Some interesting developments there.
Yeah, and that I asked Vrabel just about, so how does that happen? So, and really just because I just presume that when you're pulled, that means symptoms trigger that, right?
Right.
But apparently, I guess they don't necessarily. It's just precautionary. I mean, that's – Vrabel had a – I mean, I don't know. We could probably get the audio or – I mean, he had a long explanation, kind of went through the whole thing of how it works, you know, which all of it made sense as long as, like, the initial decision to pull someone is not does not hinge on symptoms being apparent, which if that's the case, and I was mistaken on how that works.
Yeah.
Apparently Derrick Henry's fine.
Apparently
like I said,
okay.
like I said after the game, you know, I mean, he's in the locker room. He's usually, like, someone's in protocol. Certainly, like, they're not going to be available, but usually they don't even, like, have them in there.
Right.
During the post game, like that's typically, I can't recall a time when it's like such and such in protocol. You don't see him, you know, typically. But Derek's just in there, like, kind of, you know, chopping it up with his teammates and stuff like that. Like, oh, okay, so he's fine. But that's obviously good news for the Titans to have him. And then, of course, bad news, you know, to not have Simmons. Someone on the text line asked, like, should they just shut Simmons down, Seth from Summertown? And I don't know. I mean, I could make that case,
well,
but I don't know that Simmons would be for that. You know,
I don't know that he would either. I'll say this. I mean, look, they got five games left. So if he's going to be out two, maybe three, like, is there, if you get to 4-11, is there any point in putting Jeffrey Simmons back in there for the last two games? I mean, I would probably say no, but I don't know how he'd feel about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, and I don't know of anything like this, but sometimes, you know, contracts have incentives that include whatever. They can include a lot of things. They can include statistical milestones, but even like participation things, you know. But I don't think that's a, I mean, his contract is, he's not a big incentive laden contract guy. He's a huge contract guy. So yeah, it's an interesting one. Cause like you said, yeah, what if it's three games? You're going to throw him out there to play out the string. I'm confident in saying that he would still say, yeah, I want to go out there with my teammates. You know, Jeffrey Simmons is that guy, but that would potentially be an interesting conversation at that point.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kenny the mailman. Kenny, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, good friends. Two things that you seldom hear or you'll seldom see in your lifetime: Haley's Comet and Jared Stillman taking the high road.
Very well. Listen, done, Kenny.
You think the two block punch was wild? Listen to these two stats and just let them soak in. Somehow, some way, the Titans went from 12 minutes left in the second quarter to 12 minutes left in the game without a first down and only gained 34 yards. And that's half the game, and you wonder why they don't win. And then here's another special one that you seldom hear. This is a passing league. Every rule is geared to throw the ball. The Titans only had one wide receiver catch more than one pass.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. I mean, we talked about that yesterday. I think Chris Moore had one catch on one target. NWI had one catch on three targets. And then Hopkins had five catches on 12 targets. I mean, it was not a lot going around other than DeAndre Hopkins at the wide receiver position. And again, that's where Burks comes into play as well, of not playing very many snaps.
Yeah, look, when it comes down to, like, next year, they really need to be able to balance the field, you know, and they have to have someone else at receiver who can make a difference. The best answer is still, I mean, I think they obviously need to draft someone high, but you don't, you know, rookies aren't necessarily ready to snap your fingers and ready. They are more likely to be ready now. Excuse me. But, you know, the best answer there is Treylon Burks next year. And I know some people will be like,
I don't know that it is.
Well, I don't know that it'll work out that way, but that's the best case for the Titans is that it will, right?
Yeah.
And while they also, they have to absolutely go out and try to find someone, but along with protecting Levis, they have to balance the field. I want to get to this from Zach on Aukerman because I, you know, I like Zach. Zach finds good information. He says he was terrible for the Chargers in 2016 as well. Here's his bullet points on Aukerman. Repeatedly had returners who've made poor decisions, lots of penalties, top 12 in special teams penalties each of the last three seasons, never been ranked above 21st in special teams DVOA in any of his years. Highest was 21st. So, yeah, look, I think at some point it's fair to say, can you be better at anything, right? I mean, that's the charge for Vrabel, I think, is looking around. I mean, look around at, you know, he went internal on offensive line coach. Can you be better? Can you have a better offensive line coach? Can you get a great offensive line coach? You know, I mean, D coordinator, sure. Like, would you rather have Jim Schwartz than just about anyone as your D coordinator? I would say, yeah, you know,
sure.
But it doesn't mean that was necessarily how that was going to turn out. But no, I think that's that you want continuity and you do want people you trust. But also, if the performance over time is, even if it's just which I think is what really was been the case before this year, it's been well, at some point, it's fine to upgrade on
Chuck on the text line, going back to the Hopkins part of this, was part of the reason that Hopkins was the first look and Levis didn't have time to look at anyone else. I'm sure that's probably, I mean, look, he got hit 9 times, he was sacked 6 times, so we know what the pass protection looked like for him on Sunday. I'm sure that's part of it, Joe. But, I mean, you know, without having the separation numbers in front of me, a lot of it probably is also like DeAndre Hopkins is pretty good at getting open, and the others seem to struggle with that. Like, that's what a lot of it boils down to me is Hopkins knows how to get open. Even when Hopkins isn't quote-unquote open, you feel pretty good about throwing him the ball, and that's just really not the case with any other receiver they have.
Yeah, for sure. But I think certainly he's read one a lot. So,
he should be.
He should be. He's read one a lot. He should be. And, yes, a quarterback in this offense right now isn't getting to read four too often. You know?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, like, you got to have more help from guys. And, like, NWL make a play, you know, make some plays. He's had some good games. Chris Moore will make a big play here and there.
I think both of those guys have been fine. Both those guys have been fine in what you've asked them to do. But neither one of those guys should be on the field as much as they have been, and that's the problem, right? Like, NWI has been fine in what you've asked him to do. He's made some big plays. Chris Moore has actually, like, down the field-wise, been better than I thought he would be in making some of those plays. But the problem is, like, you need somebody to be better than NWI and Chris Moore, and nobody's stepped up to that yet. And you want it to be Burks, and whether it's injury or performance, it hasn't happened. So when that happens, like, NWI is probably a number four wide receiver in the league, maybe a three. Same thing for Chris Moore. So that's what you run into is, like, when you don't have that bona fide number two, like, it's just really difficult for other wide receivers to make plays as consistently as you need a number two to make.
Yeah, and look, again, we've talked about this. Of all the predictions we had going into the season, we can make fun of now. But, like, I mean, I think I said I'll take Burks with a little bit better numbers than Hopkins this year, you know? I mean, Hopkins is a perfect, to me, whatever. I mean, people get hung up on wide receiver one sometimes.
Yeah.
The best teams have two that are both wide receiver ones, or they're 1A, 1B, you know? And Hopkins needs to be in something like that. And Burks needs to be that guy, and he's not close to that. But the rest of the year, assuming that he can start to play more, that's as big a storyline, I think, as there is with this team, is whether they can get 16 looking like a guy who can actually make a difference in this league.
Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. Got more of your thoughts to get to on DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receiving front, injuries from the Titans that Mike Vrabel laid out there yesterday. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. See your Preds star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures as well. This week's special guests are Cody Glass and Colton Sissons. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. Preds back in action tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. We'll have Preds Pick to Click coming up later in the show at 8:45. Caroline Fenton joining us at 7 o'clock. Scott Ramsey from the Nashville Sports Council at 7:30. So looking forward to all that. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Jaden. Jaden, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. So I just have a question. So I've seen on Twitter a few people post film from our offensive linemen, like Brunskill or Skoronski, and they pick out certain plays of every game that they actually do a decent job. And now my question is do you think that Titans fans are trying to bring light to this offensive line when there simply isn't any because they're just not good? I feel like Titans fans try and say, oh, Skoronski had a good game or Brunskill had a good game or Brewer had a good game. But all in all, when a quarterback gets sacked six times in a game, it's not a good game for your offense. I just want to get y'all's take on that.
Yep, thanks for the call, Jaden. I mean, look, here's the way I view it, Joe. I think – the Titans' offensive line clearly is not good enough, especially pass blocking wise. Like they've got to make some serious changes. I would guess there will be at least two different starters next year, maybe three. We'll wait and see what happens on that front. I do think you can have a bad offensive line while also looking around and saying, okay, there have been some encouraging snaps from Peter Skoronski. Like Brunskill has done okay in there. Like even Brewer at times, I think, has been okay. Now, Brewer has been overwhelmed at times, too. So I hear, like, Jaden's overall point, the offensive line is not good enough, and they're going to change the offensive line. Like, it's going to be addressed this offseason, and we'll see whether or not they could do a good job of addressing it. But I do think you can find, you know, particularly with Skoronski, some good snaps and some good cut-ups of film that would leave you encouraged about him moving forward.
I will now read you the Titans' top five pro football focus grades.
I saw this.
From the Indianapolis Colts game, courtesy of John Glennon. Number one, Aaron Brewer with a grade of 88.7. Yep. Number two, Dylan Raidens with a grade of 82.2. Number three, Derrick Henry, 79.6. Number four, Daniel Brunskill, 76.4. Number five, Peter Skoronski, 73.9.
And that's probably a pretty good example of why we should never listen to PFF rankings ever.
Well, this is not Titans fans trying to pick out a good play here or there. I'm just saying, yeah. Of course, I'm mostly facetiously speaking here because I just think the PFF instant grades are – it can't be. And those grades, honestly, if you're grading on a weighted scale that puts more on run blocking, I buy those grades.
Sure.
Titans had a very good run blocking day against the Colts. Grover Stewart's not in there. Helped them. But, I mean, look, they created seams consistently. They got push. But here's the thing, Jaden, on that question. I mean, if you go through a game and you want to focus on one lineman, well, let's say there's 50 snaps, you know, whatever, in a game, 50, 55 snaps, whatever it is. I mean, I for the most part, I bet you 40 of them are going to be fine off the jump, like fine. Some really good, and all of them fall in the category, like 80% of them automatically are like, yeah, okay. But if you have five horrific snaps, you know, then that's the thing. You can flip right around, too, because some people just – look at Andre Dillard, who's not good, don't get me wrong, but like I've seen more tweets of look at this worst snap of him from the game when he got completely bulldozed and the quarterback got hit in 0.3 of a second, right? I can find you a bunch of good snaps from the same game from Andre Dillard,
right?
So but that's the thing, I mean, you can't have those just complete Olay moments. And also I think a big thing with like Skoronski, And I think some of it is the changing left tackle from what I've seen is like definitely like twisting games, you know, he's missed some stuff and like, you know, looking like a rookie where it's like, if you get some continuity on that line and stability and a good left tackle,
that's the thing
to go with him. Then, you know, you probably see that get a lot better.
Like I've heard some Titans fans talk about being kind of underwhelmed with Skoronski, and I get it. Like when you're first off for like, for myself, and I think for most people who are like your average football fans, like it's really tough to sit there and like really determine how good of a job or how not good of a job your left guard is doing in most games without going back and like watching every snap and honing in on him individually. But like how much has the revolving door, and not just the revolving door at left tackle, but how bad the play has been at left tackle, how much has that affected Skoronski and what he's trying to do at left guard? I mean, it has to be a factor in the discussion of his play and what we're talking about.
Right. But like to your main point is, look, I mean, they have to get better. Now they can't replace everybody. They're not going to replace everybody. I think both guards being back is a real possibility. And I think that's probably fine.
Yep.
And you know, again, the Brewer thing, you know, maybe that's next for Jared to take the high road. That's got to be pure obsession now is Brewer. You can do better for sure. The idea that he's this massive issue is, I think, inaccurate. But the tackle position, that's the tackle's what you have to figure out. And this is where Jalen Duncan is, at least to me, Jalen Duncan is auditioning right now to be a strong choice of swing tackle. Maybe I'm selling him short a little bit, but if you had a good swing tackle, young, hasn't had major injuries on a rookie deal, that's a nice thing to have.
Well, you take it. And I thought, and you tell me if you disagree, I thought Vrabel, you know, TD asked him a question yesterday about, you know, pass blocking, run blocking, and kind of the difference there. And Vrabel went into this answer about how basically what you just said, like you could find good snaps where the line as a whole is run blocking really well. You could find good snaps where they're pass blocking well, and maybe some snaps where they're not doing either well. I thought overall, though, like he sounded somewhat encouraged by Jalen Duncan and the job that he's done and the progress that he's made to this point. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's been encouraging. It has. I mean, for the most part, you know, there was, in fact, I think it was actually TD had a tweet with, you know, a snap or two from him that was like, oh my gosh, right? From Sunday.
Yeah.
But no, considering the book on him, again, he led the Big Ten in sacks allowed last year. So he got drafted despite really not performing well in college because of the traits. He would speak to some good offensive line coaching, I would say. You know, I mean, if you want to look at player development or player improvement, I would say, and you think about him in camp, I never would have guessed that he'd be ready to be in an NFL game this year. So it's good. Now, the question is just like, where does that end? Like,
right,
you know, the trajectory is good, but there's also then the ceiling. Like, where does it stop? I mean, if he keeps getting better, then it could be one heck of a find.
Well, and then you hope that, like you said, you know, at the end of the season, he's an option to be, you know, a swing tackle for you at some point down the line. Like, I don't, and this is just me, maybe Jalen Duncan at the end of the year gets to the point where you feel like he's playing pretty well at left tackle. To me, there's not a situation where you cannot seriously, seriously consider drafting a left tackle with your first overall pick this year if you're the Titans. I mean, even if Duncan the last like two games looks pretty good over there, it's great to feel good about that, and it's good to have that in your back pocket. But if one of those tackles is available and pick six or pick seven or wherever you're drafting, I'd be taking a long, hard look at that if I'm the Titans. I brought it when back to the draft.
Thank you. When it's all over, the Titans are 4-13, and then they have a successful draft night, we will say, they so blew for Olu.
Very nicely done. Not as good as embarrassing for Harrison, but pretty nicely
no,
done.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And, you know, if they actually had a chance to get Harrison, oh, man. that'd be an interesting choice.
Heisman finalist, by the way.
Yeah, good for him. I'm glad they let a fourth person go. You know, he'll end up fourth.
Yeah.
But yeah, they should let five people go.
6-1-5.
By the way,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I put my vote in very late yesterday.
Good.
And It was it's just a boring year. Like, I think, like, it's just about every bow to be about the same, but we'll see.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of college football, coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Heisman Trophy race, the college football playoff, conference championship weekend, all the above. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.